I asked you guys to bring an Orchos Tzaddikim, so those who have, it would be great. If you don't have, you could probably still follow somewhat. But anyone who has an Orchos Tzaddikim, what we've been doing, this is the fifth summer that I've been in Keilu, the fifth summer of the Masmidim program here, and I started at the beginning 5 summers ago, and I'm just going continuing each summer. So I realize you all weren't there for some, but I was. So we're just continuing from where I left off. So we're starting with Shar Shmini, which is the Shar HaAchzarius. Now the way Orchos Tzaddikim works, for those who have never learned the Sefer before, you know, when it comes to Musar, it's very important that you find the Sefer that really just, you know, talks to you, that resonates with you, that means something to you. I always found Orchos Tzaddikim as something that resonated a great deal with me, mostly because of the fantastic organization, that he organized Mida by Mida, where you can focus on each one at a time, and that's what the whole Sefer is, one Mida at a time. So what he did for the first several chapters is that there are certain Midas that are like opposites of each other, right? Gaiva and Anivus are opposites, so those are going to be back to back chapters in the Sefer. So the Achzarius is actually a twin Midah. It's the eighth chapter. It's the twin of the previous Shar, which is the Shar HaRachamim. Shar HaRachamim is mercy. It's all about having Rachmanis on other people. Achzarius is the opposite of that. It's cruelty. So one could say, oh, I know everything that there is to know about Achzarius. You shouldn't have it, right? That's everything there is to know. Don't be cruel. Don't be mean, right? Isn't that what Achzarius is all about? So the truth is, one of the foundations of this entire Sefer is that there is no such thing as such a Midah where you just say, it's bad, don't do it. There's no such thing as a bad Midah, and there's no such thing as a good Midah. There are Midos that you use badly, and Midos that you use poorly, or meaning that every Midah can be used badly and used well. Every Midah, if even Gaiva, even like, which is the worst of all bad midos, it's the aviyav osatum of all midos, even that, under certain very, very, very limited circumstances, can have some amount of value. So there's no such thing as a bad midah or a good midah, and even Achzarius, we're going to see that there's some positive element of Achzarius. So he'll spend the first part of the chapter, since it's mostly a bad midah, most of the times when you're utilizing Achzarius, it's not a good thing. So most of the chapter is going to be about that, and then he'll get to how it could be good as well. Now, for those who are going to be following along inside as we read, just be aware that the Orchos Tzaddikim was printed many, many times, and there are a lot of shinuyei nuschaos. There are a lot of different texts of Orchos Tzaddikim. I have this one, so I don't know if I start reading something that you don't have in front of you, or you know, you have slightly different words, it usually doesn't make like that big of a difference. It's not like some, you know, in one text he says you should murder people, and the other text he says you shouldn't. You know, like it's pretty much usually more or less you're supposed to be a nice person according to all texts of the Orchos Tzaddikim. So let's get started with the Shar HaAchzarius. So says the Orchos Tzaddikim, HaAchzarius hi hepach HaRachmanus. He says HaAchzarius is the opposite of Rachmanus. Rachmanus is to have a sense of empathy, to feel another person's pain, and that's what, I guess, we did last summer, but Achzarius is the opposite of that. It's when a person has no sense of what another person is going through, that he doesn't feel any sense of what, you know, seeing things from another person's perspective. He just acts how he wants to act, and doesn't occur to him that the words that he says might be hurtful to somebody else. The actions that he does might make someone else uncomfortable. T'kidachsiv, Achzari hema velo yirachemu. How do I know that Achzarius is the opposite of Rachmanus? Because the pasuk says they are achzarim lo yirachemu. So the pasuk is obviously trying to make a contrast, and the best contrast that the pasuk was able to make to yirachemu is achzari. So that's the raya, that it's the opposite. Ve'ein amida azos nimtzeis batzadikim. An interesting phrase. This is not a midah that is found in tzadikim. It's an interesting phrase to say because, as I mentioned before, the yisod of this book is that every midah is found, even gaiva is found in tzadikim. Every midah is found in some measure in tzadikim. But I think what he means is that the inclination toward it. You know, sometimes you have to go against your midos. Sometimes, you know, a person to a certain extent, a person is able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his own unique character traits in a way that that makes sense and that is genuine avodas Hashem. Meaning, let's say a certain person is very musical, so they can use music in their avodas Hashem. A certain person is very analytical, so they can use their analytical mind in avodas Hashem. You can use those innate characteristics that you have in avodas Hashem, and not everyone has to be exactly the same, right? But to a certain extent, there come times where you have something about you that needs to be changed. And you have to be shover a mida. Sometimes you have a mida that you can't just say, well, so what do you want from me? It's the way I am. You know, that's how God made me. Yeah, maybe God made you that way so that you could fix it. You know, that's like your avoda, is to be able to fix certain things in your life. When a person is a tzaddik, he has taken care of that inclination toward Achzarius. If a person's inclination is cruelty, so that's something that's a problem, right? That's something that is not. Sometimes you'll have to do it. Sometimes you'll have to be cruel. You know, you have to. He'll talk about later. You have to punish a child, and you feel so bad. The kid is crying, and the kid is sad. But you know, you can't just let him keep running into the street. You can't let him jump off the roof. You know, but he's sad. He likes to jump off the roof. Eating poison is so much fun. You know, but it doesn't matter. You know, you have to be a little bit cruel. I was walking in camp yesterday, and I heard a little kid scream out to his mother that another younger sibling, I don't remember what the kid's name was, let's say, Yitzi was drinking the water from the puddle. on the ground. So the mother turned around and said, "We'll give him antibiotics in a few days." Continued to walk. Okay, so I don't know what the point of that story, but I guess, if a person's first reaction is to cruelty, so then it shows that they're not a tzaddik. You also find that this mida is very much connected to Azus, the mida of Azus. Azus is one of those midos that's very difficult to translate into English. The best translation is chutzpah. Right, that a person just doesn't have any sense of busha and just, you know, is a mechutzav, is willing to put himself out there and say things that are brash and aggressive. So that's the midah of azus. So people who have azus, it typically goes along with being an achzari. Why does it typically go along with being an achzari? Because essentially, you don't care what other people think about you. Meaning, if you have chutzpah, it's like you're constantly stepping on people's toes. You're constantly saying things that make people uncomfortable, but you don't care because you're not thinking about what they're thinking. You're not worried about how they're feeling when you talk, when you say something. So you find it by azay panim kedechsev goy az panim asher lo yisa panim lazaken v'nar lo yachon. The pasuk in the Tochacha actually tells us about the kinds of nations that we're going to have to face when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish us. It's the kind of nation that's an az panim, that has chutzpah, that doesn't respect a zaken and has no rachmanos on a nar, has no rachmanos on younger people. So that's azus. That azus is no rachmanos, is achzorius. Ukvar yadata ras midas azus. And you already know how bad the midah of azus was. I think that was two summers ago. The midah of azus. Tseul mad roa midas achzorius. So come and you'll see how terrible achzorius is. I'll prove to you how terrible it is. Ki le'inyan tashlume ish ra. When Hashem wants to punish somebody who is evil, who rebels, who does terrible things, Nemar, Ach Mari Yavakeshra, Umalach Achzori Yeshulach Bo. What will HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to punish the person who is terrible and rebellious and awful? He'll send a Malach Achzori, a cruel Malach. Because that's the worst. You're going to face so someone is sent to punish you, you know. But if at a certain time you can say, "Oh, but this hurts so much, stop," and they'll feel your pain a little bit, and it will cause them to ease up. But an achzari, you could cry all you want. They simply don't care. They don't care what you're feeling. Kol achzari ein bo gvilus chasad. K'dichsiv gomel nafsho ish chasad va'ocher she'ero achzari. And a person who's an achzari is not going to do chesed. Now that would seem patently obvious, right? That a person who is not doesn't have any sense of feeling for another person is not going to do chesed. But it doesn't always work that way, right? Meaning these are two different parshios. The idea of not feeling and not doing, or yes feeling and yes doing. Feelings and what we do are different things, but they often go hand in hand. This is Rav Asher Weiss has I think it's by now a famous Shtickel Torah, where he points out there are two Gemaras in Shas that talk about Mahu Afata, that you're supposed to mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're supposed to take the Midos of Hashem and mimic them. I remember Rav Sachs said this over a month ago. Today is the Shloshim of Rav Asher Weiss's wife. So a month ago when she passed away, she passed away in New York. So they had to fly the body to Eretz Yisrael to do Kavura. She was in Sloan Kettering. But before they flew the body to Eretz Yisrael, they had a Levaya in Far Rockaway, just for, I guess, Rav Asher's Talmidim and admirers to be able to be there to participate in something. And they had some Espedim in Tag in Far Rockaway. So I got there early. And it was me, Meish Smith, who's a guy from Lawrence, and Rav Yonatan Sachs and Rabbi Isaac Reitz were the only people there that early. It was like a half hour before the Levaya. 20 minutes before the Levaya, I get a call from Rabbi Shai Schechter, who is with Rav Asher Weiss. And he says, who's there? So I told him who's there. And he said, we haven't really figured out yet who's going to run the Levaya. So I said, you want me to ask someone who's here? You want me to ask Rav Sachs? He said, yeah, ask Rav Sachs if he could run the Levaya. So I asked Rav Sachs if he could run the Levaya. He said, okay, does he want me to speak? This was 20 minutes before the Levaya. So Rav Asher said, yeah, I wanted to say a hesped. 20 minutes before the Levaya. Rav Sachs got up and he said a hesped using all of Rav Asher's Torah and only Rav Asher's Torah. To be maspid, Rav Asher's Rebbetzin. It was mind-boggling. And unless you knew, like, you wouldn't know, right? Unless you knew that he was just asked to speak 20 minutes earlier, you would never know. So he said over this Varda of Rav Asher, that Rav Asher says in a number of places, that there are two Gemaras and Shas that talk about Mahu Afata. There's Mahu Rachum Afata Rachum, Mahu Chanun Afata Chanun. And then there's another Gemara that says, Mahu Mevakar Cholim Afata Vakar Cholim, Mahu Malbish Arum Afata Malbish Arum. And the Gemara quotes two different psukim in each place. And now you don't need to be the biggest brisker in the world to realize if there are two psukim, there are two dinim. Right, that's pretty obvious, right? But it seems like the same din. Mahu afata. So Rav Asher pointed out, no, they're two separate things. Mahu rachum afata. Mahu chanun afata chanun. That's what you should be. That's what you should feel. Those are your midos. That's the ben adam la'atzma. Mahu mevakar cholim afata means that's what you should do. You should be mevakar cholim. You should go visit the sick. You should be malbish arumim. You should give tzedakah so people could be able to buy clothing. It's what you should do. So those are different things. There are people that give a lot of money to tzedakah but don't feel anything. They just know that that's their job. Or maybe they learned once, one of the dozens of Mamari Chazal about how giving tzedakah is a good skula to stay rich and not to lose all your money. Melech Mamun Chaser, Aser Bishvil Shetz Asher. Maybe they read Rav Shimon's introduction to Shari Yosher, where he talks about how Kadosh Baruch Hu views money as like when you give to someone to invest your money. So Rav Shimon writes in Naktam and Shari Yosher, if you give someone money to invest for you, if they are the sweetest, nicest guy in the entire world, but they blow all your money all the time, they keep losing the money, you're not going to continue to give them money to invest. But if they are, even if they're a little rough around the edges and they're not the nicest guy in the world, but they keep making you tons and tons of money, you will give them more money to invest. So Rav Shimon says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he decides how much money to give us, he likes to see what we do with the money that we have. Meaning it's like an investor. So regardless of our other mitzvahs, and that's why you have tzaddikim who are rich and poor, and rishayim who are both rich and poor, because regardless of everything else in our lives, whether we're a nice guy or not, what do you do with the money God gives you? And if you give it out a lot, so then he'll keep you rich, or he'll invest more with you. So you have a lot of people like that give a lot of money, but they don't really feel that sense of rachmanas for another person. But typically they do go hand in hand. Meaning typically it's very hard for a person to live their entire lives acting in a different way than they feel. right, to act in a certain way, and while they feel something, the exact opposite. So if a person is going to have a sense of achzarius, it's going to be very, very hard to be a Baal Chesed. Now, thankfully, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes human nature is that usually, you know, as the Sefer HaChinuch continually writes, Achar Pulus M'Shachas HaLevavos, as we do good things, it tends to have an impact on us. We become better people. You know, if a person is like painfully shy, so, you know, if he forces himself several times to be more outgoing and to reach out to people and to be, so ultimately he will actually become a little bit less shy. Rebbetzin Weinberger, Moshe Weinberger's wife, said about him that the people asked her, you know, like what it was like when they were dating, like what's it like to date Rav Moshe Weinberger. Like, I guess like he wasn't Rav Moshe Weinberger, so she said, I didn't know he could talk. He was just painfully shy. He would never like say anything. And it took so long just to realize that he knows words. I mean, you know, like it's unbelievable. Would you ever think that a person like that is by nature painfully shy? I mean, he speaks to thousands of people all the time and speaks his mind, you know? So, painfully shy. But yeah, sometimes a person can, you know, you start acting in a certain way and you can become more comfortable with that. Okay, ha'achzari. Paragraph 2 over here. Achzari rachok ma'od min amidus hatavos. An achzari is very far, very distant from midos tovos. Ki lo yirachem al aniyim. He's not going to be merachem on poor people. He's not going to feel bad for them. So lo yalvelem b'shas tachem. He's not going to loan money to them when they're desperate, which, by the way, it's underrated. People always talk about the mitzvah of tzedakah, to give tzedakah tanim, which is a very, very great mitzvah. There's also a mitzvah to loan money to people when they need money, especially a poor person who needs a loan to make it through. Now, it's a risky mitzvah, because the people who need loans are typically the people that are less likely to pay you back. I always advise people, it's absolutely a great mitzvah to lend money to somebody, but don't lend money that you absolutely need. Because if you lend money, you're likely going to get frustrated. You always have to have in mind when you're lending the money, you know, I may never see this money again, but, you know, I'm doing the mitzvah of lending the money anyway. But a person who doesn't feel bad for what someone's going through is not going to lend them any money. Belit in the muma is not going to offer any help. He's not going to do anything for a poor person. And uksiv malva Hashem chonein dal. That it's like taking credit from Hashem when you take care of the poor. V'nemar tov ish chonin umalve yichalkel dvarav b'mishpat v'omer ashri maskel dol b'yomroi mateo Hashem. He always does it. He quotes like several psukim from Tanakh that all make the same point. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, goes out of his way to be extra good to people who take care of the downtrodden. You know, there are a lot of people that are very nice to people who can help them, or to people, you know, there are certain people that if you ask anyone who is wealthy or powerful, what do you think of that guy? They'll say, oh, he's the nicest guy in the whole world. Because to the wealthy and powerful, he's the nicest guy in the whole world. But the key is to be kind to those who aren't, you know. And I'm not, you know, at your age, it's not about wealth and power, because you're not there yet. But, you know, and a lot of times guys your age think, like, I'm never going to care about that stuff. Somehow, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes it that, like, at a certain age, certain yetzer haras, like, if I would have looked around at, you know, at my friends when I was your age, I would say, no one here is ever, like, going to be insulted if they're not called rabbi, or if they're, I don't know, if they're not, you know, they're seated at, the wrong table at a bar mitzvah or something. Like, no one, like, what kind of pettiness? Like, none of my friends would ever, like, be like that. There's a certain yetzer hara that kicks in at a certain age, and people become like that. So at your age, it's not about the rich and powerful, but maybe it's about the popular. Maybe it's about the people that you connect most to, or, you know, or in certain ways, and those who have a more difficult time fitting in. So it's just easy to ignore them, just to pretend they're not there. So that doesn't bode well for a person. It doesn't speak well of a person's midos if a person is like that. A person should always try to reach out to those who need the most help. Rav Asher Weiss, in his own hesped for his wife 30 days ago, our learning should be an aliyah for her neshama and her shloshim. In his own hesped for his wife, said that one thing that his wife was always, she took care of kol tsarua v'kol zav v'kol mar nefesh. It was a play on words from the pasuk. It didn't mean literally tsarua. So he says everyone who was downtrodden, who no one else cared about, who no one else looked at, who was had nothing else going for them, that's who his wife would take care of. That's who she would go out of her way to make sure to take care of them, to make sure to help them out. That's a very, very valuable midah. A woman came over to him at his wife's levaya. Once we're talking about it, a woman came over to him at his wife's levaya and said to him, you don't know me. And she was right. He didn't know her. And she said, but your wife and I were as close as sisters, and I owe my life to her. So that was intriguing to hear at his wife's levaya. Who are you? So she said, I've been through a lot of difficult times. I would speak to your wife. She'd be mechazik me every day, sometimes twice a day. We would speak and she would be mechazik me. And I have a shaila for you. So I said, what's the shaila? I want to know if I can tear kriya and observe avelus because I feel like I lost a relative. So, to take care of a person to that extent, where they feel like their family, where they feel like that. And Rav Asher, in his whole week of Shiva, only wrote one tshuva, which is one more tshuva than I wrote that week. So he only wrote one tshuva in his whole week of Shiva, and that was a tshuva to this woman about whether she's allowed to tear kriya and sit Shiva. Just an unbelievable kind of midah to take care of those who need it the most. We're already... dinner's not till... Can we finish this paragraph? Yeah, dinner's a little late tonight, so anyone mind if we finish this paragraph? So let's try to just wrap it up. Gam lo yitzta'er al tzoros chaverov. A person's not going to feel pain over his friend's pain. Kasher tira b'david ha-melech. Shnemar v'ani b'chalosam levush yisak. Inesi v'atzom nafshi l'svilasi al cheki toshuv. Ubi'ov ksev in lo b'chisi l'kshem yom agma nafshi le'evyon. That David and Eov, they describe this profound sense of sadness over somebody else's sadness. V'kol zeh rachok min achzari. That is the opposite of an achzari. An achzari doesn't feel a sense of sadness over someone else's sadness. I just saw in one of Rav Zilberstein's svarim a story of Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was walking in Bayit Tzigan once. And if you know anything about Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, maybe we won't finish this paragraph, but I'll finish with this story. If you know anything about Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was a person who, when he walked into the room, you knew it. You know, he was like, they, just like regular people are different. Not every rabbi is the same. You know, there are some rabbis that just quietly walk by and aren't. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky walked into a room. He was a gavra, right? So it's so much so. The famous maysa they tell about him is when he had to testify in a secular court in England. So because they shochet sued the London Beis Din. So the lawyer asked him in order to establish his credentials, Dayan Abramsky, is it true, Rabbi Abramsky, is it true that you are the greatest living authority on Jewish law on this continent? And he said, yes. And the judge stopped the proceedings and said, excuse me, Rabbi, doesn't your religion preach humility? He said, yes, but I'm under oath. So that was Dayan Abramsky. So Dayan Abramsky is walking by the gun, and this little 5-year-old girl is crying, tears streaming down her face. And he stops, and he bends down and to talk to the 5-year-old, what's the matter? And she says, my mommy bought me a new dress, and my friend said it's ugly. So, and she was crying. So he said, tell your friend that Rabbi Abramsky, and everyone knew who Rabbi Abramsky was, says that it's beautiful, and therefore she's wrong. And she was still, she was like a little intimidated, but, ultimately, she walked away with confidence. Wow, Rabbi Abramsky said my dress is beautiful. And, afterwards, he said to someone, we always pray, Mach Hashem Dima Me'al Kol Panim, that Hashem should wipe away the tears from every face. That it not only from the face of people that are brilliant talmidei chacham, more powerful people, or from every face, a 5-year-old child also. It's our responsibility to remove dima, kol panim, from everybody, and that's just part of the job of being a Jew. But someone who's an achzari doesn't relate to it at all. He doesn't feel another person's pain. So that's ultimately what this is about: is to feel a sense of someone's pain, and not to be an achzari where you're just like totally dull to someone else's feelings. So I guess we'll pick up from there tomorrow, from Ve'ena Midazos.